Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Today we're going to learn Chulin Daf Samach. We are holding out. We're going to pick up from Daf Nun Tes Amid Beis, about 15 lines from the end of the page of Amar LeKesa the Rabbi Shua Ben Chananya. Last word on the line is Amar. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander and his wife and children, and Leah Nishmas's mother Golda Basimcha Aleha HaShalom the Nesham Shem Nalia. We thank him for the continued sponsorship of the Daf Yomi Shir. So we're going to talk about today is first we're going to have four different stories related to Rabbi Yeshua Ben Chananya and his interaction with the Kesar or the Bas Kesar, and that's going to take us halfway down on Bet Aleph. Then the Gemara is going to talk about unique features of the Shor that Adam HaRishon brought as a Korban. Then the Gemara is going to apply a Pasuk in Tehillim to the creation of plant life, and that's going to lead us to a Shaila about Klayim that emerges from that discussion about the creation of plant life. Then on Amud Beis, we're going to talk about the minimization of the moon and the conversation that followed when the moon had to be Mema'it itself, a very famous Maimur Chazal about the moon becoming smaller. The Gemara is going to talk about how Hashem eagerly anticipates and is Nis'avel, the Tfilas and Shel Tzadikim. We're even going to have a Raya to Torah Min HaShamayim on Amud Beis, and then the Gemara is going to give examples of Hashem moving world events for the betterment or for the sake of Klal Yisrael. So a lot of Agarita today and very Gishmak Adav. They're all Gishmak, but you know, some are more revealed gishmak. Okay, so about 50 lines from the end of the page, last word of the line, Amar, Amalei Kesar Rabbi Shua Ben Chananya, Kesar said to Rabbi Shua Ben Chananya, Elokeichem Ka'aryeh Matil, your God is compared to a lion, because the pasuk in Amos says, "Arye Sha'ag Milo Yira," and the pasuk continues, "Hashem Elokim Diber Milo Yinavei." So it compares the navi compares the yira that a navi feels when he hears the Dvar Hashem and is misnavei to the pacha that one fears that one feels when he hears the roar of a lion. So the Kesar says, "My Rabu say, what is the this great strength of the lion? Prasha Katel Arya. After all, a parash is able to kill a lion." So Amalei, Rabbi Yeshua Ben Chanani said, "Lavka Ari Matil." No. It's not a regular lion that we're comparing Kodesh Baruch Hu to, but Ka'ari Debei Eloi Matil. It's like a very special type of lion called an Ari Debei Eloi, which is much, much more powerful than anything you could imagine. So Amalei, so the Kesar said, "Yeah, but Ina De Mechazis Le'Nehali. I would love to see such a powerful lion that no human being is able to kill, and no nothing is able to kill. That's so powerful." So Amalei, so Rabbi Shua said to the Kesar, "Lo matzis chazita, you can't see it." So Amalei, the Kesar said, "Ibr chazina lei, I want to see it." So Bayrach, Meisur Rabbi Shua davened that it should be able to be seen. Is akar miduchte, and this lion left its its habitat and it went toward Rome. Ki avamarchik arba mea parsi, when it was within 400 parsaos of Rome, niem chad kala, it let out one roar. And apilu kol ma'abarta, and every pregnant woman was so frightened that they miscarried immediately from the fright of hearing that roar. Veshura derami nafal, and the walls of Rome fell down because of the power of that roar. Ademir chaktas me'aparsi, when it was 300 parsels away, niem kol achrina, it let out another roar. Nasr kavchi vishine degavri, and all of the teeth, the inside teeth, the outside teeth of all the Romans fell out of their mouth. And even the Kesar himself fell off of his throne and fell down onto the ground. And this was still 300 parsaos away. So the Kesar said to Rabbi Shimon Chananya, "Please, I beg of you, daven again that it should go back to where it came from and it shouldn't get any closer." So he davened and it went back to its original place. The Maram Shif raises the question, meaning if he wanted to see this Aryeh Debei Elohi, why didn't he tell Rabbi Shua Ben Chananya to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the Aryeh will just stop roaring, meaning each time it roared it caused this kind of problem, so just tell it to stop, meaning instead of telling it to go back to its place, why not just tell it to stop? So the Maram Shif suggests that he was worried that if Rabbi Shua Ben Chananya was going to have to daven again two more times, one time to keep it quiet and not to do any further damage, and then a second time that it should go back, maybe two more. He doesn't have two more tefillos in him that are are going to be listened to. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only willing to listen to one more tefillah, and the lion is going to remain in Rome. And therefore he figured, I better get whatever I can out of this tefillah. I mean, I better get myself to safety. And the best way to get myself to safety is to get this thing back in its place. The Lev Aryeh suggests differently, that the Kesar didn't really want to see the lion, and Rabbi Shua didn't really daven stam that the Kesar should see this lion, but he wanted to show that there is such a creature. So that's what Rabbi Shua daven, that there should be that it should be known that there is such a creature. And once he heard the roar of this lion, and he knew that the words of the pasuk were true, so he didn't need to see it anymore. I mean, it wasn't that he was so interested in going to the zoo and seeing every type of creature. No, he wanted to understand, what's this pasuk talking about, that the word of God is as frightening as as the roar of some creature. So he wanted to know what kind of creature it was, and he had seen enough. The Ben Yoyada says that the Kesar knew that you can't daven for Shinoi HaTeva, that you're not allowed to daven for something that's against nature. And since the Teva of the lion is to roar, you can't daven that it shouldn't roar. So to daven that it should come here, that's not against Teva. But to daven that it shouldn't roar is against the Teva. That's a yisod in tefillah, that a person is not, the Gemara Bracha says, that a person is not allowed to daven for a miracle. A lot of times people don't, so people are always bothered by that. What do you mean? Hashem can't perform a miracle? Hashem did create Yamsuf, Hashem could perform anything. So the answer is, of course Hashem could perform a miracle. We're not allowed to daven for a miracle. Those two things have nothing to do with each other. Meaning there are a lot of things, I may have a wealthy friend who can afford to give me $1 billion, but it's a chutzpah for me to go and ask him for $1 billion. So I wouldn't go and ask him for that, because that's a chutzpah. You're not allowed to go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and ask him for a miracle. Who do you think you are to ask for such things? The very idea that we're allowed to daven at all, that we're allowed to do bakashos at all, is something we need to, is only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave explicit rishus in the form of a mitzvah to do so. But we say, Hashem's v'sai tiftach, ufi agit hilasecha, that we daven even just for netilas rishus, to be able to approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So to approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu with such outlandish requests, that's forbidden. You're not allowed to do that. Alternatively, the Ben Yoyada answers that since it was such a damaging roar, he thought that if I see this lion, it's going to be even more damaging. And that's why he didn't daven that it should just stop roaring and would continue on its way to Rome, because seeing it might be even worse for him than hearing the roar of the lion. So that is story number one with the Kesar. Story number two, I would like to see your God. The Marshal explains that the Kesar knew that you cannot see even the Mesharsim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he couldn't even see the Aryeh de Be'ilai yet, and survived. The Aryeh de Be'ilai made it within 300 parsos, and he couldn't see it. But the issue over here was that he wanted to see a raya of something of the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Lev Aryeh says, it must have been that it was the opposite order, that the Gemara told the story in this order, but the way it actually happened was in the opposite order, that first he asked to see God, and then when he realized he couldn't see God, he then asked for the next best thing, to be able to see this Aryeh de Be'ilai. Why does the Gemara have it in this order? Because the prior maimer, the prior couple of lines of the Gemara, were about an Aryeh de Be'ilai. So that's why we have it. We mentioned first the story about the Aryeh de Be'ilai. But anyway, so he said, I want to see God. Sorry, no can do. Amalei, Ibra, Chazinalei, Afal Pikain, I want to see him. So Azul Reb Shubachlani went, Ukmilahade Yomi B'tkuvas Tamuz, and he put him right in the sun in the middle of the day, in a summer's day, like today, T'kuvas Tamuz. And we keep mentioning T'kuvas Tamuz or Chodesh Tamuz. This is Daf Yomi coincidence over and over again. So how often does T'kuvas Tamuz come up in the Gemara? But three times this Chodesh Tamuz so far. So he keeps brings him right into the daylight sun. So Amalei Reb Shubachlani says, Istakel Bey, look right at the sun. So Amalei Lamatzini says, I can't look at the sun. Amalei Yoma Dechad Misham De Kamei De Kutshu Brichu Amalei Lamatzini Istakel Bey, the sun in its full force, which is only one of of the Shamashim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're not even able to look at Shechina L'Kol Shekein. The Shechina, all the more so, you're not going to be able to look at. So now a third story with Rabbi Shua ben Chanya. Amar leKesar l'Rabbi Shua ben Chanya. The Kesar said to Rabbi Shua ben Chanya, Be'ina de'itz v'slei nahama le'lekaichu. I would like to prepare a meal for your God. So Amar le, Rabbi Shua said, Lo matzis, you cannot prepare a meal for God. Amai, why not? So Nefishi Chalvasei. So Rabbi Shua ben Chanya says he has so many legions of soldiers and shamashim. You're never going to be able to prepare for all of them. So Amar le, the Kesar said, Ibra, I don't care. I'm going to do it anyway. Amar le, poktzavis legida de Ravisa. So he said, go prepare a suda by the edge of the river Ravisa, de Ravicha Alma, which is a very spacious place. So there will be all the space that HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs for all of his people, for all his meshamshim. So Tarach Shita Yarchi Kaita. He spent 6 summer months preparing the meal. Asa Zika, a giant wind came, Kanche Liyama, and blew the whole suda that he had prepared into the yam. So Tarach Shita Yarchi Desitva. He then prepared over the 6 months, the 6 winter months, Asa Mitra Tabe Biyama, and then a rain came and it drowned out the whole suda and flooded it right into the yam. So Amalei, the case said to Rabbi Shua ben Chananya, my high, why is it that everything I'm preparing is just getting destroyed? So Amalei, Rabbi Shua ben Chananya said, Hani, the wind and the rain, these are all Mesharsim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Knoshai Zlochai Da'asu Kameh. These are the people who sweep the floor and rinse and mop the floor of his palace that come before the Suda even begins. These are like the maids that just prepare the cleanliness of the area for the Suda, and they took all of that food. So Amalei Iachi says, if that's the case, that these are the lowest of the Mesharsim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I couldn't put in a year's worth of work went down the tubes for that. Lomatsinu. Obviously, I'm obviously not able to prepare a su'uda for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now the Gemara tells us a fourth story. Amra le bas Kesar the Rabbi Shua ben Chananya. Now it's not the Kesar himself, it's the daughter of the Kesar. It says Rabbi Shua ben Chananya, Elokecha Nagaruhu. Your God is a carpenter. Dechsev, because the pasuk says, Hamakara v'mayim al Yosef, that Hashem builds from the water the sky. He builds the roof of the Rakia, which is the Aliyah. It's like an upper story of this planet. So since he's a carpenter, Emily Dinavadi Chada Masurisa, tell him to make me a particular type of wooden utensil that can be used to untangle or undo woven fabric, that the threads that go into a weave can be untangled using this wooden kli, and I could use such a kli. So Amma, so Rabbi Shua ben Chanani said to the daughter of the Kesar, L'chai, sure, no problem, I'll ask for that. So Bayrach Me'lavi Inaga. So he davened, and she became afflicted with tsara'as. Osa b'shuka d'Romi. So they sat her in the marketplaces of Rome. V'yahavi le'masturisa, and they gave her this type of kli to undo woven fabric davenihigi, because the minig in the Rome was to call the menaga b'Romi, that anyone who had a nega tsara'as in Rome, yahavi le'masturisa v'yasa b'shuka v'sasa dole, they would give them this type of kli and have them be involved in this kind of work of unthreading all the fabric. So that people who are walking by in the shuk would see them and would know that they're a mitzorah v'libayi rachme aleh, and they would then ask for rachmanus for them. And apparently even a bas kesar is not putter from such a fate, that that she needs the tefillah, and therefore people would get out of the way, and I mean would make a public demonstration of her plight so that everyone could look and see that there's what to daven for. The Ber Yitzchak says the reason that the Anshei Rome did this is because tsara'as comes because, meaning, why of all things? You could have had them do any activity that's noticeable and everyone would notice and they would daven. Why did undoing woven fabric become the universal sign for tsara'as? That seems like a very strange thing. So the Ber Yitzchak explains, because tsara'as comes because of Lashon Hara, and Rashi on back on the Chesim Bey says that when a person arranges a story, when he tells a lot of words together and he strings them together and makes a story, so that's referred to as an ariga, as weaving. A person has woven a tale, right? They telling lashon hara. So we're trying to symbolize, look how hard it is to unweave the tail, to unweave the, so that was symbolic of what the person had done. Anyway, Yom Echad Havakachalafasam, one day Rabbi Shimon Chananya was passing by in that very shuk, Havas Yosva Vesasra Dolei B'shukat Ramai, and the daughter of the Kesar was sitting in the shuk of the Romans, and she was taking apart the woven fabric. So Amalah, Rabbi Shimon Chananya said to her, Shapirta Masturisa Diavila Chalukai, are you happy with what God gave you? Meaning you asked me to pray to God that he should give you this kli, and you know, you ended up being furnished with such a kli. So Amalei, she said, please ask him to take away what he has given to me. I'd rather not have sara'as, I'd rather not suffer from this affliction. So Amalei said to her, our God is a giver, he's not a taker. So he's given you what you want, and he's certainly not going to take anything away. Now the Ben Yoyada says, what kind of answer is that? What do you mean, to take away illness? We daven all the time that Hashem should be merapi cholim. How could it be? They can say that God doesn't take away illness. Of course God takes away illness. No, what he was saying to her was that God, it was a melitza. He was not saying, it was a b'dichusa. It was just a lighthearted comment. But of course he must have davened for her to have a refuah, because that's what we do when someone is sick. So now the Gemara discusses the difference between, how do you tell the physical differences between a shor and a chamar? Some of you, the shor, if you want to know what a shor looks like, karstan uprastan, it has a wide belly and it has wide legs. Rav Reshe, it has a large head, Virab Gnufte, and it has a big tail, the Chilufa Bechamra, and all of those opposite attributes are applied to a donkey. Lamainaf Gemina, who cares what you call an ox and what you call a donkey? You know, an animal's an animal, so if I see an animal, I'll, you know, so it says, well, Lamekach Memkar. Now, Nafgamina is, if a guy says, I'm going to sell you a shor for this amount of money, and then he delivers something that looks not so much like a shor, so you have to look for the simanim to see if it qualifies as a shor or not. Vam Rav Yehuda, shor sheikriv Adam Arishon, the shor that Adam Arishon was makriv. What do you mean Adam Arishon was makriv? When did that happen? So the Gemara in the first parak of Avodah Zarah says that the day that Adam Arishon was created, as soon as the sun set, he said, Oili, then I must have done something really bad because the whole world is turning dark. Meaning he had never seen the cycle of the sun rising and the sun setting. So when the sun set, he thought, that's it, light is gone forever. And he did something terrible. And the whole world is on its way to destruction, going back to Tohu Vavohu, and this is a misa that he's meant to suffer. So he sat and he fasted and he cried all night long, and Chava cried also. And once Amud HaShachar came and they saw that there was a ray of light. So he said, "Oh, this must be the way the world works, that the sun sets and the sun rises, and then it happens over and over again." And he was makriv a karban. So apparently, this shor that he was makriv as a karban, Karen Achas Haislo B'Mitzcho, it had one horn in its head, Shenemar, because the pasuk says, "V'teitav LaHashem Mishor Par Makrin Mafris." David HaMelech says that he praises Hashem and he's going to give Hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's going to be better to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Hodah that he's going to give, than the Shor Par that Adam HaRishon was Makriv, which was Makrin, meaning Makrin means it had a Keren. So it says Makrin Tarti Mashma. What do you mean? It's Kofre Mem Kofresh Yud Nun, which sounds like multiple horns. So Rav Nachman Makrin Ksiv without the Yud. Since it's written without the Yud, so that makes it seem like it had only one horn. Vamra, so it's like a unicorn. Vamra Vida, Shar Sheikrav Adam Rishon, the Shar that Adam Rishon was Makriv, Karnav Kodmos Leparsosav. When it was born, its horns came out before its hooves came out. Shinamar, because the Paskin Tehillim says, Vetitva Hashem Yishar Par Makrin Mafris. So Makrin Beresha Vadar Mafris. Normally, that's not the way it is. Normally, the baby is born and then it grows horns later on, just like a human being baby is born and it grows hair, a full head of hair later on. So over here, this was unusual in the Sheshes Mebrachis that the horns were there first. So the Gemara says that this idea that the shor that Adam Rishon was makriv was that its horns were created first, first. There's a raya to that which Rabbi Shimon Levi says. Rabbi Shimon Levi, kol ma'ase bereshis become masa nivru. All of ma'ase bereshis was created fully formed. So the ashar was born not as a baby but as a full grown par. B'dayta nivru, and not only that, they had to agree to be created. B'tzivyonim nivru, and Hashem created them in a form that they chose for themselves. Shenemar v'ichul Hashem arz v'chol tzva'am al tikri tzva'am ela tzivyonam. So you see that they were all created as gedolim, as fully formed creatures, and that's exactly like Rav Yehuda said that the shor of sheishes yimei bereishis already had horns like an adult shor. So now the Gemara says darash Rav Chanina bar Papa. The pasuk Tehillim says yihi chavod Hashem li'olam yismach Hashem b'ma'asav. So pasuk says Sarah olam amaro. This pasuk was said by the Malach that's appointed over overseeing much of the world. So b'shah shamar Kodesh Baruch Hu l'minehu bi'ilanos. When a Kodesh Baruch Hu said the word l'minehu, when it comes to trees, meaning in Ma'aseh Bereishis that tachei eretz desha esa mazriya zera eitz pri osa pri l'mino. So he told the trees to each come out individually and not to all mix together. So the smaller plants that are mentioned in the beginning of the pasuk of tachei eretz desha nasu d'sham kal v'chomer bi'atzman, they made a kal v'chomer on their own, and they said im ritzon shel Kodesh Baruch Hu b'ribuvia, if Hashem was happy with everything just being all mixed together and all mushed together, lama amar l'minehu bi'ilanos, then why did he use the term l'minehu by the trees va'od, and not only that kal v'chomer umma ilanos shein darkan latzis b'ribuvia amar Kodesh Baruch Hu l'minehu, if the trees, which typically don't come out all mixed together and all jumbled together anyway, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still had to command them that they should be l'minehu, that they should be separate from one another. So anu, we, the weeds and the grass and the plants, alachas kama v'kama, where it's our derech to come out that way, all the more so such a tzivoy must apply to us. Miyad kalechad v'echad yotza l'mino. And that's why, v'atotzei aretz desha yisam azriya zera l'minehu, the pasuk goes on to say, that the desha also came out l'minehu. So pasuk sara olam, the sara olam said, v'amar yihi chvod Hashem Niolam Yismach Hashem Masav, that the covenant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is enhanced when everyone does what they're supposed to do, and therefore Yismach Hashem Masav, that the Ilanos listened and that the Desha was able to figure out on its own what to do. They were able to make a kal v'chomer to figure out on its own what to do. So when all of creation is following the tzivoy Hashem and the ratzon Hashem, so that's yichvar Hashem li'olam yismach Hashem masav. So when you say it each day, we should think of that. Yichvar Hashem li'olam yismach Hashem masav is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes great satisfaction when all of creation is doing what it is supposed to do. So by Ravina, once we talk about different tishayim being mixing together and staying separate from one another, here gives Shnei Dishan Zeh al Gav Zeh, that Rabbi Chanina bar Papa, according to Rabbi Chanina bar Papa, that there was never a tzivoy that they had to come out separately. What if you mix them together? So Mahu, is that a din of Kalayim? Kivin lo kasubu l'minei lo mechayiv. Do we say there was never a tzivoy from Hashem? The Dishan figured it out on their own with their kal v'chomer or whatever, but there was never a tzivoy, and therefore maybe it's not Kalayim. O Dilma, or maybe kivin to hiskim ayadayhu kamad chasubu l'minei damya, or maybe since HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very pleased with it, so therefore it's considered to be as if there was a tzivoy of l'minehu. So teiku, the Gemara leaves that unresolved. Rabbi Shimon Pazi, Rabbi Shimon Pazi asked the following stira. Ksiv, the pasuk says ve'asa l'kim ha'shneim ma'oros ha'gadolim, that God made two luminaries. Uksiv, and the pasuk says es ha'ma'or ha'gadol ves ha'ma'or ha'katon, that first it says that there were two ma'oros gedolim, both of them were gadol, and then the pasuk says there was a Ma'or HaGadol, the Memshalas Hayom, and there was a Ma'or HaKaton, the Memshalas HaLaila. So it sounds like there was only one big luminary. So Rav Shimon Pazi answers that initially there were two, but Amr Yerech V'nei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the moon came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, Ribono Shel Olam, Efshar L'Shnei Melachim She'ishtam Shu B'Kesar Echad, is it possible that two kings will use the same crown at the same time? Meaning it doesn't make sense to have two of us. So Amr La, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the Yerech, L'chi Umatias Atzmech, that you should go and be mema'it yourself, and then it will be recognizable that there's a difference between the sun and the moon. Minyan Chinami, you suffer now. You're going to have to be you're going to have to be smaller now as a result of that. So Amr Lefanov, so Ribbono Shel Olam, Halva Amarti Lefanecha Davar Hagun, the moon said, I understand, I had a good taina, meaning it's true that Ein Shnei Melachim Mishtabshim B'Kesser Echad. So I said something that was fair. So Amit Tatasmi, I have to suffer as a result of making a fair point. So Amr Lekarosh Baruch Hu said, L'chi U'mishol B'yom U'V'layla. You should go, you're good, don't worry, I'm going to make it up to you, because you're going to be visible not only at night, but at daytime as well, whereas the sun is only visible during the daytime. So the moon said, my Rabuse, what does it matter that I'm visible during the daytime? The Shrakapatira Mayahani, a little candle in broad daylight doesn't help. That's all I am. I'm a little candle in broad daylight, so it doesn't bring any light to the world anyway. So what am I actually accomplishing? So Akharosh Baruch Hu said, I'll give you a different consolation prize, and that is that the Jewish people will rely on you to count the season, to count the months and the years, because we go with a lunar calendar and not with a solar calendar. So the moon said, Yomanami Yefshad Lamanabe Tukufasa. Well, you're going to need the solar calendar to some degree for the Tukufasa Chama and the Ibura Shanim that you're going to have to do in order to make sure that the lunar calendar and the solar calendar coincide, so that Pesach is always in the springtime and everything else. So, I mean, it's not like we're just totally ignoring the sun and its role in the calendar. The sun also has a role in the calendar, so this doesn't really make me feel much better. Because the Pasuk says, so the kavius of the years is based on the sun. So zilu likru tzadike b'shmech. So go and be mispais that the tzadikim are going to be called by your name, meaning the third consolation prize that the moon was given is that you're called the Ma'ara Katon, and don't worry, tzaddikim are called Kitanim all the time. So Yaakov HaKatan. Yaakov Avinu is called Yaakov HaKatan. The Pasuk says in Amos that Slachna Miyakum Yaakov Ki Katon Hu. So you see that Yaakov is called Katan. Shmuel HaKatan. The Tana Shmuel is called Shmuel HaKatan, meaning this is the Tana Shmuel HaKatan, the Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, who's called Katan based on the story that happened in Sanhedrin Daf Yod Aleph, when they went to be Ma'abar the Shana, and he took the fall and the blame for somebody else because he was exceedingly humble, whatever it was. But there was a story there, but it's not referring to Shmuel HaNavi over here. However, the Maram Shif says, yes, it is referring to Shmuel HaNavi, that Shmuel HaNavi is also called Katan. It doesn't say anywhere in Tanakh that Shmuel HaNavi is called a Katan. So says the Maram Shif, you have to say that it's a reference to the Pasuk in Shmuel Aleph Perek Yud Beis, Ve'yishalach Hashem Yisiru Baal Vespadan Yiftach veShmuel vayetzel eschem miyarei veichem misaviv vateishu betach. And the Gemara Rosh Hashanah darshins that we list Shmuel among among the shoftim who are all of a lower madrega than him, to tell me that any shofet bedoro is considered like Shmuel bedoro. So if we're equating Shmuel with those who are ketanim imenu, so the pasuk is being maktin Shmuel. It's sort of minimizing Shmuel to a madrega below the madrega that he's actually on, and in that sense, he's called a katan. But again, the Marsha says, like we said originally, that Shmuel HaKatan is the name of a Tana. It is not a reference to Shmuel. David HaKatan. David is referred to as a katan. Now, the Hechrich to say that the reference was to Shmuel HaNavi, not to Shmuel the Tana, is because then why would you go from Yaakov Avinu to a Tana and then back to David HaMelech, right? So that would be the indicator that it's Shmuel HaNavi and not Shmuel a Tana, because David is definitely referring to David HaMelech, because the Pasuk says in Shmuel Aleph, V'David hu ha-katan u'shlosh ha-gdolim holchu achrei Shaul. He was the katan among his brothers. Chazi z'loka miyat v'dayte. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that the moon was not satisfied. So Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, aviyu kapar alai shemiyat yasei reich. So Hashem says, okay, I did something not nice to the moon, and I need a kapara for that which I did to the moon by causing the moon to be minimized. V'hainu dam Rav Shemilakash, man ishtan asori shal Rosh Chodesh. Why is it that we have a sa'ir from the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh, Shenem Rabo, because the Pasuk says, series of Mechel Dechadas, La Hashem. Whereas other Musaf regalim, it doesn't say Lashon of La Hashem. Amar Kosh Baruch, Si'ir Zeh, Ye Kapara Alai, Shemiat Tiyas Erech. That this Si'ir is a Kapara on me for being Mema'it the Erech. That Kosh Baruch essentially says, I need a Kapara for this, because he did nothing wrong. There was nothing, meaning, I think Rav Shai Shachter told me the name of his grandfather, maybe? I don't remember who he quoted. That this is that by Kiddush Levana, one of the kavanas you're supposed to have is that this was the first time of Tzadik Varalo. It's the first episode ever of Tzadik Varalo, that the moon did nothing wrong. And even though he did nothing wrong, nevertheless, he had to suffer. Kosh Baruch was Moda, that he needs kapara for this. So that's part of it was built into the Bria, that there's that sense of Tzadik Varalo. Ravasi Rami, Ravasi has a different stira. Ksiv, it says, Vatot Eretz Desha, Betlas B'Shabata, that on Tuesday, plant life was created. Uksiv, Kol Siach Hasad, Deter Mi Yabaretz, B'Malei Shabata. And it says that on Friday, plant life had not yet come out, had not yet sprouted. So which is it? Did it come out on Tuesday? Or on Friday, was it still not there? So Melamit Shiyatsu Deshav V'Amdu Al Pesach Karka, Ad Shabba Adam Rishon, Abikishalem Rachamim. That it was, you know, for a plant to grow, it develops underground for quite some time, where the seed becomes nirkav, and then the roots start to grow, and until something actually sticks up from the ground and you're able to see that something is happening, it takes a while. So it stayed right beneath the surface of the ground until Adam Rishon came and davened that it should emerge. And the rain came and it sprouted. To teach us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires the tefillos of the tzaddikim. Throughout Tanakh, Mashiach is referred to as a tzemach. Right? In the Bracha Shemaneh, it's tzemach David. That's a reference to Mashiach. One of the kavanos that's worthwhile having when you say the Bracha of tzemach David is that there's a lot that happens beneath the surface before we're able to see anything. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is laying all the groundwork and everything is happening beneath the surface and we don't see it yet, but he's nesavel the tefillos and shel tzaddikim. We need to daven and daven and daven for it to emerge, for it to be recognizable, for the Yemos HaMashiach, for the destiny of Klal Yisrael to be something that is revealed. Rav Nachman Bar Papa Havilei Higinasa. Rav Nachman Bar Papa had a particular garden, Shadebe Bizrani, and he put seeds in it, Velotzamach, and it didn't sprout. So Bay Rachme, he davened, Asa Mitran, it rained, Vetzamach, and it sprouted. Amar Hainet Ravasi says, you see exactly like Ravasi, that Rosh Baruch is Nesave, Litfilos and Shel Tzadikim. Okay, Amar Rav Chanan Bar Rava, Hashesua Briya B'fnei Atzmahi. The pasuk says, Achazel Lo Soch Lumi Malei Geir Mafrisi Aparsa, Hashesua Es Hakom Levesarev Zas Shofen Ki Malei Geir Rahim Aparsa Lefrisi Dmei Meim Lechem. When it goes through the non-kosher animals, the word Hashesua appears in the pasuk. Now the pashtus is that it's a reference to Mafrisi Haparsa Hashesua, that the parsa is supposed to be entirely Shesua, entirely split, until the bottom. But Chazal Darshan, that it's an actual name of a creature. So the Shasua is its own separate priya. Sheyesh l'shnei gavin v'shnei shidraos. That has two backs and two spines. So says Gemara, Moshe Rabbeinu kanigi haya? Was Moshe Rabbeinu someone who was a hunter? O balistari haya? Was he someone who knew how to shoot arrows to hunt animals? Mikan, he wasn't, obviously. So how did he know about all these different crazy creatures like a shasua? So mikan chuvelomer ein torah min hashemayim. This is a response to anyone who says ein torah min hashemayim, that there's no way someone could have had the expertise to know all of these things unless he dedicated his entire life to it. And Moshe Rabbeinu had a pretty busy life. He didn't have the ability to dedicate his entire life to it, but it was min hashemayim that all this knowledge was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Am le rechis le rav tachlifa baravina zil ksov kanigu blistri bagadetech uparsha. He says, those are great words, kanige, velistery. So you should have that when you teach Agada, use those words, and then you should explain what they mean. But it's got like a great ring to it when you say those words. They're very catchy words. I'm not sure what that means, but that's what it seems to be saying. Chamesha sarne plishtim, the pasuk identifies chamesha sarne plishtim, ha'azasi, v'ha'ashdodi, ha'ashkeloni, ha'giti, v'ha'akroni, v'ha'avim. So this is a pasukim in Sefer Yoshua. So Amar chamisha, the chashiv shita. What's going on over here? It says that there are chamesha sarnei plishim, and then we list six. So Amar Rabbi Yonasan arunki shalen chamisha, that the chashiv ones are only five. That the last one, the avim, are not chashiv, so they don't count in the chamesha sarnei plishim. Amar Rav Chisda Rabbi Tachlifa Baravina ksov arunki bagadatech. You should say arunki when you teach over this agada uparsha, then you should explain it. Meaning again, it's a nice word and it has a good ring to it, so you should teach that. Upliga de Rav, and Rabbi Yonasan, who says that the reason that the Avim are not mentioned as one of the Sarnei Plishtim is because they were not Chashuv, is in disagreement with Rav. Da Amar Rav, Avim, Miteman Ba'u, they were not Plishtim, they were from Teman, the son of Eliphaz, who was the son of Esav, and they came to the Eretz Plishtim. So that's why they're not called Sarnei Plishtim. They weren't natives of the Plishtim. Tanya Namihachi, Avim Miteman Ba'u, they came from Teman, Velamanik Rashman Avim, why are they called Avim? She'ifsu es Mekoman, that they left their place and they went to the Eretz Plishtim, so their whole native land became all messed up. Davar Acher, Avim She'ivu Le'elohus Harbe, that they strayed and followed a lot of other gods. Davar Acher, Avim She'kalaro Samuchasto Avis, that anyone who would see them would be very frightened. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Vislu Shitzri Darishini L'kol Chad V'chad, that each one of them has 16 rows of teeth, so they're scary looking guys. Amar Rav Shimon Lakish, Harbi Makraos Sheru'in Lisrof Vehinin Gufei Torah. There are a lot of psukim in the Torah that don't seem to be necessary, and you would think you could just edit them out, but really there's a lot of depth that's hidden in those psukim in the Torah. So for example, Va'avim ha'yoshim b'chatzerim ad aza, that the pasuk describes these avim in Parshas Devarim that were yoshim b'chatzerim ad aza. It's kaftorim ha'yotzim mekaftor ha'shmidum v'yeshuv v'tachtam. So my nafka l'mina, why do I care? What do I learn from this history of the kaftorim and the avim? But there's a huge limud, mida ashpe e Avimelech la Avram, since Avimelech, the Melech Plishtim, made Avram Avinu take a shavur, and he said, im tishkar li ulinini ulinechti, so Avram Avinu swore to that he's not going to fight a war against the offspring of Avimelech. So when Klal Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael, the offspring of Avimelech were still there, so Klal Yisrael couldn't conquer those lands of the Avim from Aza ad Chatzerim. They were locked off from those lands. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu lesu kaft Torim, let these other people come, the Kaftorim, who are not Plishtim, and Lefku me'avim, and they will defeat the Avim, Dahainu Plishtim, who were actually Plishtim, and therefore were offspring of Avimelech, Velesu Yisrael, Lefku me'kaftorim. And that will clear the way, that will clear the path. So you think this war between the Avim and the Kaftorim has got nothing to do with the Jewish people. Jewish people weren't even on the scene yet. It has everything to do with the Jewish people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to engineer world events so that everything could be lined up for Klal Yisrael to be able to step in. So this war between the Avim and the Kaftorim was so that the Kaftorim could beat up the Avim. The Avim or descendants of the Plishtim will not be there anymore, and therefore will not be a violation of the Shavua that Avram Avinu took to Avimelech. We have a similar thing. I think it was yesterday's parsha. Ki cheshbon yirsichon melech ha'morihi vu nilcham b'melech Moav. My nafkamina. What do I learn from the fact that it was originally the city of Cheshbon originally belonged to Moav? And Sichon conquered Cheshbon from Moab. So the Amr Lakosh Baruch Hu Israel Al Tetzras Moab, because Lakosh Baruch Hu told Klal Yisrael in Devarim, do not start up with Moab. So that it's Sivui not to conquer anything that belonged to Moab. And Lakosh Baruch Hu wanted to give the city of Cheshbon, which had belonged to Moab, to Klal Yisrael. So Amr Lakosh Baruch Hu Laiti Sichon Nepuk Mi Moab. So Hashem made a war between Sichon and Moab, and Sichon came and conquered Moab. Vilei Yisrael. And therefore, Klal Yisrael is able to come and take it from Sichon. That Amun Moav were sort of cleansed by Sichon. That Sichon coming in and taking it allowed Klal Yisrael to be able to take it from Sichon. And otherwise, Klal Yisrael would never have been able to take it. Sidonim Yikru Lechermon Sirion. So, why does it? What's the pasuk telling us? What the Sidonim and the Amorim, how they, what names they gave to Har Hermon, right? That the Sidonim called Hermon Sirion. And the pasuk continues, and the Amori Yikrulo sneer. What do I care what the Tzidonim called Har Hermon? Why do I care what the Amorim called Har Hermon? Why does that matter to me? So Tana, the Brisa teaches us, sneer v'Sirion mehari Eretz Yisrael, that there are mountains of Eretz Yisrael. And since Har Hermon was close to the land of the Tzidonim and to the land of the Amorim, so they built two large cities on it. The Tzidonim called that city Sirion, and the Amorim called that city Sneer. So Melamich Kalechad Vechad Mimus Olam Haluchu Banal Krach Gadol Yatzmo, that each of these Umus Olam went and built a large city in Eretz Yisrael for themselves. Vehelulo Al Shem Hari Eretz Yisrael, and they wanted to call the name of the city like the name of the mountain that's in Eretz Yisrael. The Lamedcha Shafilu Hari Eretz Yisrael Chaviven Al Umus Olam, to tell you that the mountains of Eretz Yisrael were beloved to the Umus Olam, that they wanted to name their cities after the places in Eretz Yisrael. So Kayotzibo, similar to that, there's another pasuk that L'chora doesn't add anything to anything and is unnecessary, and yet we're going to find deep meaning in it by the famine that happened in Mitzrayim during the days of Yosef, when the Mitzrayim had no food anymore and they needed to go to Paro and to Yosef to get some food. So that's am heavier so la arim. So Yosef started moving people around and he started saying, you know, you want food? Okay, you have to go there and you have to go there, and everyone was moved away from their native location. Ma'inaf kamino, who cares whether what Yosef did of how we moved people around in Mitzrayim to Likrulach of Kalvasa, so that they shouldn't refer to the Jewish people when they ultimately arrive as people who were exiled, who weren't in their native location, because none of you are in your native location. So there's nobody that's not a, you know, there's nobody that can claim to be a native. So so since everybody is an outsider, so Klal Yisrael is not going to be singled out and is not going to be the only ones that are in Galus. So all of these psukim that seem to be so unimportant actually teach profound, profound lessons. Okay, but Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with the next piece of Gemara, back to the Simanim of Ophos at the bottom of the page. Okay, probably same time tomorrow, I think, 5:30. Okay, everyone have a great day.